Thank you for visiting New Song Community Church on the web at newsongpdx.com. We pray that you will be blessed by listening to the message today. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. We are located on the corner of Russell Street at 2511 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, Oregon.
Bless you. Come on, stand with me, would you please? Everybody stand. Here's something that's really good. We're going to give God some applause for this. Today is New Song's 39th anniversary. Give the Lord a big hand for that. Is that all right? That's amazing. And we didn't tell anybody to kind of pump up worship or anything like that, so you guys were just going after it anyway. So that was absolutely wonderful. So that, by the way, anybody been here at New Song over 30 years? Anybody, if you have, wave your hand. Look at us. Look at us. Over 30 years. How about over 35 years? Anybody over 35? Yeah. Wow. I'm not going any further than that because they'll just be my wife and I standing, I think. So I'm going to leave that alone. We're going to go into Ephesians chapter 4, verses 8 through 16. For those of you who do not know, I think most of you do, today we're going to be setting in order, or actually ordaining Paul Greenwich, Pastor Paul, as an official elder in the church today. Amen. And in light of doing that, I'm going to teach for just a little bit on leadership and eldership in the church. And I don't believe this is going to be a dry sermon. I believe God's going to anoint it. Amen? So let's go with, I'm going to read from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 8 through 16. You get the responding verses. Therefore, he says, he who ascended on high, he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts to men. And he who descended also is the one who ascended far above all the heavens that he might fill all things. For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. That we should no longer be children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. Verse 16 together, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, this assignment today is a glorious assignment because, Lord, it's for some a very first time of some informative information about leadership in the body of Christ. For others, a reminder that, God, you use people. In our frailty, in our human flesh, Lord God, in our faultiness, Lord, you have made this choice, and you made a good choice. And today, we just want to honor you in all that we say and all that we do. And in light of this series we're on about the church that Jesus is building, help us to understand the concept of leadership, of what you want to do in us. And Lord, we'll rejoice with you for all the things you've done, and we give all the glory and the honor to you. We ask all these things in the powerful name of Jesus, and everybody said,
amen.
You may be seated. Well, if there were ever a time that we would be tempted to disagree with the Word of God, it would be by trying to reconcile Romans 13:1, which says this, let every soul be subject to governing authorities, for there's no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. In light of the candidates running for highest office in the country, in the U.S., and perhaps the world, regardless of what we might think or believe, Jesus has chosen ordinary men to be designated leaders in the organization and the structure of his church. He said, I mean, flawed folks like me. But I want to tell you, there's a beauty in that we're going to see today, and God's going to expose it to us through the scriptures. I have several questions like I normally do, but these will be more focused on the idea of leadership. First one says this: are you willing to accept and embrace Jesus' plans for governing his church? Yes. That can be answered yes. He says, well, what am I supposed to say? Well, that was not rhetorical. That was a response question. Are you willing to accept that? Anybody say yes?
Yes.
Because Jesus knows what he's doing. Yes. You know, and we're going to explain some of these technical terms or terminology that maybe you've misunderstood. But let's go into the next question. It says, does the idea of submitting to men that you may not be as, you can fill in the blank, smart as you, rich as you, handsome as you, whatever, as cause you to have angst and reservation? Because, you know, I'll tell you what, we're pitiful. There's some people say, they're just not my flavor. Really? They're just not my type of person. I would like somebody just a little bit, more. God is not interested in what your favorite is. Somebody say amen. God's working on us. We'll move on to number three because we got a long ways to go. Are you committed to pray for God's anointing to rest upon the leaders of his church to perform his will on the earth as it is in heaven? This is where you can respond.
Yes.
I need prayer. Yes. Now, if nobody else says that, all the prayers nobody else wants, let me have them, okay? Because prayer will keep you in the position where God wants you to be. So, oh, no, don't bother praying me. That's okay. I'll be okay. Oh, that's foolish.
That's right.
And so we're going to set these things in order. Let's get in our journey. Submission to godly authority. Romans chapter 3, verses 2 and 3, 13, verses 2 and 3. Therefore, whoever resists authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise for the same. Okay, here's a test. Everyone going down the freeway faster than you should go?
Yes.
Let's testify. Come on, wave your hand at me. And all of a sudden, conviction comes over you because there's a police car. Roll with me for, come on. You were doing fine till you saw them little lights, blue lights, red lights, whatever's on there. And all of a sudden, it's like, oh, geez. And then we start praying, oh, Jesus, Jesus, oh, glory to God. We get all spiritual. We start speaking in tongues. But if you had not been speeding, nothing would have happened. So you talk about authority. Authority only messes with you when you messed up. But when you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, it's no big deal. Matter of fact, you can get behind it. Oh, this is going to be helpful for all of us. Okay, God has designated the world to operate under his appointed authority. The process of authority started with Adam, and he didn't do a good job because he listened to someone outside of God's authority, and he convinced him to go another way. When Adam chose to listen to authority other than God, it created a breach in the process of submission. And you know what was interesting about that? The blame game. The woman you gave me, if you hadn't put Eve in here, everything would have been fine. Oh, but Eve, she wasn't going to be outdone. If you hadn't put that serpent on this planet, I never would have taken a bite of whatever it was. I believe it was a pomegranate to this last day. I believe it was a pomegranate. I'll tell you why. God will make it difficult for you to sin. Apple's too easy. And all the work you go through on a pomegranate to get a little squirt of juice, honey, you deserve whatever you get. I'm trying to make this not dry, okay? We'll be all right. Regardless of the choice of Adam's rebellion, God did not give up on his original plan. Let me move forward by saying this. The authority that God has given operates under the auspices of God's grace. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. I'm so glad for grace. Anybody glad for grace? Just wave your hand at me. Woo! And I know why the brother called it amazing grace. It's amazing. I wouldn't have wrote the song Amazing Grace. I call it Amazing Tolerance. Amazing Indulgence. You know, but that's how leadership works. Jesus conquered death, the hell, and the grave before he ascended on high. And he went to the portals of hell and preached redemption to those who needed to know his salvation and redemption. This is kind of the setup before Jesus releases the authority of leadership. He says, I want to get things straight. I want to get things in their proper order. And so he goes into the portals of hell, and so nobody has an excuse. Well, if somebody had told me, I would have lived right. Everybody. And for those who listen to TV, everybody needs to figure it out based on what God has done. He gave gifts to men for them to be able to accomplish his will on earth through the church. That's the reason why he set men in order. It doesn't make them superheroes, doesn't make them anything special, other than the fact that God has appointed that to happen. I'm going to define them for you in just a few moments, but there's a few other things we need to do as far as research. Christ's gift to the church is appointed leadership. Now, here's the problem. I don't know whether you went through this in grade school or not, but it was in grade school or in high school, it was a popularity contest. Am I right? Oh, let's vote for him because I like him. He plays baseball really good. You know, and of course the girls, ooh, he fine. Yeah, he the one. You know. God doesn't let us choose because we'll choose the wrong one. And so the Lord says he appointed. And I'm going to go through the list now, and it will help us, because there's some things I can say that are relevant to the church here that perhaps you didn't know. I'll give you a little history about the church and history about the Church of New Song as well. He appointed an apostle. First of all, the apostle is one who is sent out and a primary ambassador to preach the gospel and establish a church in a new region. Some of you may did not know this. But we had a couple of missionaries, you can call them missionaries, from New Song Church. Brian and Jay Alberts, which are part of YWAM. And through the auspices of YWAM and New Song Church, they went to the country of Uzbekistan. Say, who, what, am I understand? Uzbekistan, which is a part in the Russian colony place over there. I want to let you know that they were, and this is an absolute 100% fact, they started the first Christian church in Uzbekistan in 2002. What? The first Christian church in Uzbekistan in 2002. Yeah. And they had to leave a little bit after that. They stayed there for about 3 years because the KGB, which wasn't supposed to be in operation, which they still are, basically told them, you stay in here, we're going to put you in jail, and we will make sure that you die. But I want to let you know, they're still in touch with the people in that church, and that church is still going today in 2016, and there's a Christian church in Uzbekistan. That is called an apostolic mission. Now, we call them apostles and give them a nice robe with a pointed hat and a nice whatever. No. But that's an apostolic movement. Myself, Rod Davis and I went over to Dominican Republic. It's been about 20 years ago. Well, actually, 21 years ago. To a barrio. How many of you know what a barrio is? Barrio's a ghetto. Ghetto without cars. Okay. But anyway, we went over there, and there was no church in that particular barrio. There was no school in that particular barrio. And as apostolic anointing that God used, you say, are you calling yourself an apostle? God used an apostolic anointing to establish a church in that particular place with Rod and I. That church is going strong today, has started 7 other churches and raised up a school of 500 kids that's operating today. Hello? What I'm trying to tell you, this is not to brag, it's to let you know that these things are, it's just not a game. That God is doing those type of things today. So let me move on from apostle to this next part that some of you just can get messed up real quick. Prophet. Oh, Lord Jesus. Help us, Lord. One who utters divine revelation and foretells future events, spiritual and moral directive toward the future of the church. There are good prophets, and there are prophets that prophesy for profit. And if you don't believe it, turn on TBN, honey. You can empty your wallet in a matter of 30 minutes. Because they all got a word from you. But that's not what God set up. And you know, I want to tell you that this whole idea that a prophet, be very careful about calling yourself a prophet. Because I tell you, back in the old days, if your prophecy didn't come through, they killed you. Ooh, yeah, honey. False prophet, you dead. Take you out and stone you. But nowadays we go, oops, oh, maybe that was the wrong thing. My bad. No. But the prophet in the church, especially in the Old Testament and even in the New Testament, even as John the Baptist was, a voice crying in the wilderness. And you know what he did? Prepare ye the way of the Lord. It sets the groundwork for the Lord to do what he wants to do. The next one in line, the evangelist. I've been labeled as the evangelist, and I'm quite proud of it, actually. Because evangelist is worried about folks getting saved. Thank you, Jesus. But I want to tell you, I've got company. Did you know Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John were all evangelists? It's true. Look it up in any Bible commentary. They are the four evangelists, and guess who? They start off the whole New Testament. So I'm in a good company of folks. The evangelist is one that God uses that's not afraid to tell the story. That's not afraid of what people think about or how they look at him. They're just going to tell the truth about who Jesus is. They're not worried about what you think about them or they might go, you know, I think you're just a little bit too more religious for me. We need to tone this down a little bit. They ain't worried about you. But the evangelist is one who preaches the gospel. Oh, Romans 1:16, I think. Did you get that? Did they give you that particular scripture? If they didn't, I can get to it real quick. They probably didn't. Romans 1:16. Great scripture that we have. Talks about this. It says, oh yeah. For I'm not ashamed. Anybody know the rest of that? Of the gospel. For it is the power unto salvation to everyone. To the who first? And then to? The part I want you to get into your spirit is, I am not ashamed. Repeat that. I am not ashamed of the gospel. Say it again. I am not ashamed of the gospel. I know they used to have those preachers down there on there. They're talking, y'all going to hell. They're sick, carrying the sign, this type of thing. I say, they're doing more than you're doing. Because you let folks just slide right in the pit and don't even care. But I mean that you don't have to pick up a sign like this, but can you try living it for a day? Amazing. The Bible says this, you are living epistles known and read of men. Let's start living it. Then it comes down to pastors and teachers. You know something, Pastor Paul, we're at the end of the food chain. But really, it's kind of like the foundation of the whole thing. Pastors and teachers, it's interesting how this works out. It says this, the pastor is, another word for pastor is a shepherd. Acts chapter 20, verse 28. I think, yeah. Do we have Acts 20, 28? Did they put that one down for you? Maybe not. Okay, well, I can find it. All right. Yeah, here we go. Chapter 20, verse 28 says this. Therefore, take heed to yourselves, to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God that he purchased with his own blood. First of all, he says, take heed to yourself. Before you go around talking, you need to be doing this, you need to be doing this. No, start looking at you. Look in the mirror. And I believe that introspection is extremely important for all those who are leaders in the body of Christ, that they first partakers of the fruit. It's so easy to call out stuff in other people's lives and this living raggedy and pitiful and those type of things. God wants us to be an example to people that are following behind us. And Paul was smart enough to say this, follow me as I follow Christ. And that should be all of us saying that very same thing. Also, 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 2 and 3 says this. Shepherd the flock of God, which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, eagerly is what he's telling us to do. And it says, not as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. Boy, that's tough in some ways. Is it tough to be an example? In some ways it is. Sometimes you can be misunderstood, and sometimes they understood you perfectly. A lie is a lie. Can't fix it. Anger is anger. Ooh, Jesus. It doesn't say be perfect, but examine yourselves that you would be an example to others. It's how you're acting, how you're thinking right now. Is that going to bring people closer to Jesus or send them further away? I'm not just talking for the sake of leaders. I'm talking for all of us. Because you know what? Every single one of you in here are a leader. Yes. Somebody's looking at you. Amen. That's right. Well, the purpose of the authority is to equip let me get to teachers real quick. Teachers, Acts chapter 15, verses 35, because I don't want to leave the teachers out here. It says pastors, teachers, somebody lumped those two together. But I want to let you know that there's something about teaching that is important. Paul and Barnabas also remained in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others also. Preaching and teaching, which is important. And then it's important as we look at the idea of teaching, we teach a lot more through example. The old saying says, more is caught than taught. More is caught than taught. In other words, you're carrying a virus of the Holy Spirit that people need to catch hold to. And if you stay around them in the right attitude, God's going to do something. Amen? Amen? James chapter 3, verse 1 says, my brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that you shall receive a stricter judgment. Parents, have you ever had your children school you? But mama, you said. But daddy, you said. How come we can't do it and you can? Ooh. How it works. Let's move on quickly. The purpose of authority is to equip the saints for ministry. We will be built upon sound leaders when we learn to operate under submission to godly authority. Let me define that for you. Submission is the process of coming underneath someone to learn from them both good and bad. So wait a minute. You need to learn how to be bad? No, you don't need an education in that. There's some things, unfortunately, that the Holy Spirit will teach you, says, you know what? That's not a good example. The Holy Spirit doesn't give anybody a pass on being evil or mean. When you're mean, you're mean. That's right. I'm the holy mean. No, you're mean. You know, I'm an elder in the church. I don't care what you are. You are mean. And you need to fix it. Nobody gets a pass on the fruit of the Spirit and love and joy and peace and gentleness, goodness, meekness, temperance, faith. Against such there is no law. Every person who operates in leadership has a responsibility to operate with the gifts of the Spirit working in their lives. And if you don't, you say, you know what? Not as if we didn't know, but that wasn't Jesus. And take responsibility for that. Well, here's another portion. Submitting to leaders will edify the body of Christ. The word edify means to build up. In my tenure in the church, I started the church when I was 9 years old. I became a believer when I was 9 years old. Baptized in the Holy Spirit when I was 9 years old. That doesn't mean anything other than the fact that I was at that particular place of submitting to God. It doesn't give me extra points. But I had the opportunity of being mentored by my grandfather, who was a part of the Azusa revivals. And oh my. But he was the most soft-spoken, kindest man I've ever met. I never heard him say anything evil or bad about anybody. And if somebody went derailed themselves, he says, "Brother, we need to pray. Can't we talk about him first?" Oh, Jesus. Can we scandalize him first? Then we can pray. Help us, Lord. And that's the way it ought to be. My question for you. Find a place in the Bible where Jesus badmouthed anybody that was a believer. Now, he has some things to say about the Pharisees. Whitewashed sepulchers. That's where you bury dead folk. Let me move on. Well, the end result of leadership is to promote unity. Now, let me make this clear to all of us. Unity is not uniformity. Yes, sir. All right, everybody, let's shout now. Shout! No, honey, it don't work that way. And especially in the church I was brought up in, honey, you would not fit, okay? We had all kind of folks. Now, I'm not giving a license to radical behavior, but when you try to put people in your box, like for instance, we were worshiping a little while ago, some of you were, you know, a little more bombastic than others, but that doesn't mean you weren't worshiping God. We don't have a uniform. Now everybody gonna dance today. Mm-mm. No, because I'm gonna be honest. Some of y'all can't dance. The anointing would have to be. I don't know. No, it ain't gonna happen. Okay, I leave it alone. It's okay. But you can wave your hand. I know you can. Oh, see, he says, lifting holy hands. We all can lift. Now, lifting your legs, that's another story. Unity is the discovery of the gifts of one another that will make us stronger members of the body of Christ. And unity is the desire that we all come to the fullness of the knowledge about Christ and his church. Now, leadership in the church is established to promote sound doctrine. And we're going to spend some weeks on that in the weeks to come because we're talking about the church that Jesus is building. But I want to tell you about doctrine. Don't throw that word out because there's a lot of strange doctrine going around nowadays. Because some folks are telling folks that the Bible didn't, things that the Bible didn't say. You know, they say it's okay to do this. No. Would you measure that through the looking glass of the Bible? The leader is given the responsibility to expose false doctrine that opposes the kingdom of God. But here's how he does it. Speaking the truth in love. You have to love people more than you love yourself. You have to love people enough to tell them the truth. And one of the ways you can couch it is by saying, were you aware that such and such and such exists? Instead of saying, I don't know what is wrong with you. What happened to you? Have you lost your mind? That's probably not the words to start with. There are better words. I'm trying to help you, just give you a little clue. All right. Speaking the truth and love, responsibility of leaders to expose error and trends, culture, popular beliefs that are not in alignment with the Word of God. The ultimate goal is for believers to grow and become healthy and multiply. Let me get to this next section real quick. It says, Jesus desires that we honor those that he has put in authority. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 17 and 18. Let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine. For the scripture says, you shall not muzzle an ox while it treads out the grain. The laborer is worthy of his wages. You say, now you're going to talk about money. Yes, I am. Really? I realize that the church many times has an illusion over the idea about money, because although there's a lot of excesses that have happened in churches where people have just taken advantage of folks financially, and I don't even want to talk about all the greed and all that kind of stuff, but honor and respect is the right response toward those that Jesus has appointed as under-shepherds in the church. So we must be willing to show respect and honor to those that God has gifted to serve in the church. And that's perfectly fine. You know something? You will not lose one thing when you show proper honor to people either in the church or even on your job. You will not lose a thing. Matter of fact, you will gain more than you'll ever lose. So I'm not going to honor him. You know, he does such and such. Really? We look for excuses that don't fit into our paradigm of experience to keep from doing what the Bible says. The Bible says honor that person. I'll teach about this in a few months, actually about a month and a half. But there's a story about when David was being pursued by Saul, and he had an opportunity to kill him. And the Holy Spirit said, don't you dare. But remember, Saul is trying to kill him. So he's got right there, I'll kill him before he kills me. And God said, mm-mm, don't do it. See, how does that work? I'll get the scriptures for you. I don't want to get sidetracked in this, but there's something he knew about what God had said in order. Even though Saul was as sideways as he could get, God said, leave him alone. I'll deal with him. My wife used to teach this to women who had husbands that were kind of crazy. She said, I'm not going to submit to some man who don't do the right thing. I'm going to stand up for my rights. She says, honey, you need to bow in submission, bow below, and give God a clean shot so he can take him out. Why are you up there? No, you up there? Anyway, just bow down low. God got a clean shot. Take him out. Thank you, Jesus. See, I had a prophet in my house. Those who are committed to the word are committed to our growth and well-being. Encouragement and prayer is always in line with the will, with God's will for leaders. And I know that we're supposed to do that. We should be willing to sow resources into the lives of those committed to building the building of God's kingdom. And see, people get funny with money. They really do. I say, well, I don't think they deserve that kind of money. You got a problem. You really do. Because when you start putting a dollar amount, and that doesn't mean that it gives room for excess, just do crazy things. But it gives me kind of a key to where your heart is at. Can I unfold it for you this way? Be willing to give support to those in ministry. We must remember they are working for God first and not for us. Oh. This isn't your employee. This is God's employee. Oh. Yeah. Revelation. We give to ministers out of thanksgiving to God for the gifts he has placed in them for our benefit and blessing. I'll say on behalf of the leadership team here and those who are on staff here, I'm so thankful for the blessing that, I mean, the New Song, you know, supports me, financially supports me. I don't have a demand, I'm thankful every single day. But you know what? I'm thankful, first of all, to God. Really? Well, that was my money. That was out of my check. Mm-hmm. Well, God's the one that told you to release it, okay? God desires that leaders are accountable for their behavior in the body. I'm going to get through this rather quickly. Leaders are not above discipline for the actions that are inconsistent with the word of God. That doesn't mean you can do whatever you want to do, whenever you want to do it, however you want to do it. The Bible makes it very, very clear that our leaders should be subject. Be careful not to carry offenses of others and become a party to gossip and slander. If you hear something that says, you know, I heard such and such and such and such. Why are you telling me? You need to go to them. I don't need to be a part of your A and B conversation. See your way to the person who needs to hear it. Okay? That being the case, confrontation of leaders, a leader in error, carries a great weight of accountability. That means they just can't do anything. He says, rebuke them openly. If it's true, that means there's a scolding coming, and even more than that. And we believe that that's appropriate. Because, you know, it carries a heavy weight for someone to not just disappoint people, but just defame their position in the Lord. Well, leaders must endure the procedure of training before they're released into ministry in the body. And that goes on to say that Paul worked with Timothy before he was released to minister. And that's kind of interesting. He says, he always calls Timothy my beloved son. He says, receive him as you would receive me. The whole mentorship relationship is an amazing, amazing thing. And we're thankful that God allows those things to happen. Paul and Silas, they work together as a team. And time and prayer, and the world is irreplaceable for leaders. But let me get to this one thing that kind of gets us a little sideways, titles. Titles carry no special privileges in Jesus' church. Titus chapter 1, verses 7 and 8. For a bishop must be blameless. And notice that's not capitalized, okay? As a steward of God, not self-willed, not quick-tempered, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy of money, not hospitable, but hospitable. Oh, there we go, not hospitable. A lover of what is good, sober-minded, just, holy, self-controlled, holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convict those who contradict. That word bishop kind of messes with folks. In some cultures, especially in Africa, I'm considered a bishop, and I'll tell you why. A bishop is an overseer. That means a person who has had experience and oversaw in other works before and has authority and has tenure that can help bless people and raise others up for ministry. But what does that mean? Does it mean I get a special hat with a little point on it and the garb and the big chain and the big cross and the thing and I start swinging incense up and down, the everybody starts falling out because the fumes? No, we're not going to do that. No. It comes with responsibility. It's an overseer. What does an overseer does? He sees over. Yippee. There were several times in the ministry of New Song as an overseer of some of the missionaries, I've been called into situations that weren't very pretty. Outside forces, sometimes legality situations. But you know what's interesting? When you come as an ambassador from a particular organization, there's something about even governments will listen to you. Pastor so-and-so, bishop so-and-so, this type of thing. Oh, we weren't aware of that. But I'll tell you what happens. The Holy Ghost shows up. When you've been appointed and anointed, the Holy Spirit shows up. And you know, and I've heard this, we've never done this before, but all of a sudden they changed the rules. I've seen the rules of government changed because of the anointing of God. Isn't that amazing? So don't get hung up over all these titles and stuff. Holding fast the faithful word and those things that contradict. It goes on a little bit further than that. He's an overseer. He's one who's looked to for advice and counsel. He's able to set things in order in doctrine and practice. Well, I think we have one more scripture here in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. And we're just about done. This charge I commit to your son, Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage good warfare, having faith and a good conscience, which some, having rejected concerning the faith, have suffered shipwreck. I hate to talk about this. This is the last thing I'm going to talk about, but we got to talk about it. It's called shipwreck. It's called people who have crashed and burned in the church. And we've had plenty of them. We've had plenty. But when we set things in order, there's a way to recover and many times to restore those situations, but there's also preventative measures that happen that you as a body, you do your part, not out of accusation, but to be able to it says, rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father. Because I knew better than go see my dad. The way you run this house, you have lost your mind. Matter of fact, I'm going to leave here. You know, I say that to my daddy. The way you run this house is probably the only phrase I'd get out of my mouth. Because I'd have a backhand, and it wasn't the Holy Ghost backhand, across the room. No. There's certain things you just don't say, and you don't say it that kind of way to folks. Coming there with your little attitude and this type of thing. Well, I've been trying to tell you this for years. I finally done got up enough nerve. The devil got a hold to you. Yes, he did. And caused you to lose your mind. You know how you entreat a father? You appeal. And this, let me give you this kind of little verbiage. It says, were you aware that the way you did such and such and how it affected me and other people around you? I don't think you're aware of that, because knowing who you are, I don't believe that that is your intent or your behavior. Honey, you have got my undivided attention. It's not as difficult as we make it. So these last few little things I'll insert to you is that leaders are often a result of prophetic words spoken over their lives for the benefit of the body of Christ. And secondly, faithfulness to prayer and the word will keep ministers on track. I cannot tell you of any minister that was faithful in prayer and faithful to the word that went sideways. I can't tell you one. I'm telling you one that memorized and got their favorite sermons down and all of a sudden relied upon that went sideways. Or thought that, you know, that prayer wasn't important. That God knows how I feel. God knows how I am. God all, so there's no reason for us to be this way. Well, and this last little point here, then I'm going to ask Lee to come on the stage. He's going to read the actual charge. I'll have Pastor Paul come up in just a moment. But spiritual warfare is a part of the assignment of all leaders. And you know, I want to tell you that the leaders of this house will go to war for you in prayer. We were having a staff meeting last week, and we were talking about something, and then the Holy Spirit, he showed up, and he says, you didn't talk way too much. You need to talk to me. Because sometimes we try to solve things with our infinite wisdom. You know, and our postulation and the ways, and our, you know. And somebody said, we need to pray. And I mean the Holy Spirit showed up. And we start calling the devil outside his name. We start calling him, you liar, you cheat. You know, he's just acting like he is, but you know, and we say in the name of Jesus, and all of a sudden things start breaking loose. That's how it works, folks. There's warfare going on in the kingdom of God. And that's what leadership is all about. My last little point, and then we're going to proceed with what we're doing. There's no replacement or substitute for faith and a good conscience toward God and man. What that means is the foundation of any church, of any work, is faith and a good conscience toward God. If you have a guilty conscience, something wrong. There is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Amen. Amen. This time I want Pastor Paul, and actually I want Sister Jerusha to come on stage to join him, and then we're going to read, Brother Lee's going to read a scripture, our scriptural text. I'll ask the other elders if they would come and stand behind them, and then we're going to ask his particular charge, and I'll tell you folks when it's appropriate for you to stand, we're going to pray.
Pastor talked about Paul's charge to Timothy and how Paul considered Timothy a son. And this is a charge from Paul to Timothy, but also now from God to Paul. I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you, be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. Amen.
Amen. Will the congregation please stand? So Pastor Paul, after having heard the scriptural charge in the Word of God for those who will endeavor to preach the Word and shepherd and disciple those who have made confession of hope and salvation that was purchased by Jesus' triumph over death, hell, and the grave, do you declare your desire to serve as an elder in New Song Community Church?
Yes, I affirm the call and the charge to be an elder. I receive it with humility. I thank you for the privilege of serving in this church.
Amen. Amen. Would you folks move yourself close together and join your hands together, and each one of the elders is going to pray a prayer over Paul and Jerusha.
Pastor Paul, I just want to lift this prayer up to you. First of all, Lord, I thank you for Pastor Paul becoming, because of his well-deserved faithfulness in this church, Lord God. And Father, you know, through his life, Lord, he's been a faithful father, a faithful parent, a faithful leader of the church in his music ministry. And Lord, I just want to thank you that you have called him to be a link in the chain of your eldership at this church, Lord God, because
yes,
we
God.
Need more links in that chain to keep it strong, Lord, and keep it faithful. And Lord, I thank you that you have brought this man, this godly man, into the presence of the eldership. I thank you in the name of Jesus.
Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for both of the witness of both of these, Paul and Jerusha, as they both step forward now in this role. I thank you, God, that they step into an opportunity to grow, an opportunity to stretch, an opportunity to become even more vital part of what's going on at New Song and your desire. And Father, that's our desire, just to simply accomplish your will. So, Father, as I've had the privilege now of serving alongside Paul for several years, I thank you, God, for the anointing on his life. I thank you for his heart. I thank you for his passion. I thank you for his desire. I thank you for his love. I thank you for his mercy. I thank you for his grace. I just thank you, God, that you have a touch on his life. And God, as he steps now into this role on an official basis, God, you would just continue to pour out your blessing on him. Pour out your blessing on his family. Pour out your provision for him. Pour out everything he needs for life, godliness, to escape the lust and corruption of the world, and to be a blessing to everyone he encounters in every place, in every situation. In Jesus' name.
Father God, thank you for this time, Lord, and we thank you for this affirmation of the good work that you have put into our brother's heart and into his life, Father, to serve, to minister, to lead others, to rule in this house, Father. The structure that you have given us through your Apostle Paul, Lord, in your word, we desire here at New Song to follow that word, Father, to follow the instructions that your word gives us. And so we thank you that you have ordained, anointed, and appointed a man, a couple, Lord, in this role to help serve in this body, in this house that you have planted, Jesus. So we thank you for that. We want to give you all the glory and all the honor is due you. And as we desire to serve, we thank you for the example that our brother is. We thank you that he has led well, that he has already functioned so in so many different areas as an elder and as a pastor, Father, that the qualifications speak for themselves, but they always speak through your word. So I thank you for your word that is alive and true in the lives of these two as a couple, and as our brother, as he steps into this role, this official capacity of an elder and all that it encompasses. So Lord, strengthen him. Give him continual wisdom and insight. Lord, help him to really see the things that are unseen even right now, Father, as we move forward in your will for this house, for this city, for this ministry, Lord, for the years that are yet ahead of all of us here to serve and glorify and honor you. So a special anointing, a special touch upon him right now and upon Jerutha. So we thank you, Lord, for all that you've done and you've accomplished through their lives and what you're going to continually accomplish through this church, Father. We thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, God. Now, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just release an anointing on both Paul and Jerutha.
Thank you, God.
Anointing that comes from you, Lord God.
Thank you, Lord.
In the name of Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
That, Lord,
yes,
that you give him insight and wisdom and favor. And, Lord, I pray that the anointing on Sister Jerutha would be even greater than she's ever experienced in her life. Lord, I had the privilege of knowing her for many, many years, over 50 years. And God, I thank you. I thank you for her. And Lord, as they united as a couple, as they serve this house, I pray, God, your blessing would be manifest in unusual ways. And Lord, give them favor in this house, we pray, in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I thank you for this body of people today. That Lord, we affirm today that we receive this ministry. We receive it by your hand, by your grace. And we thank you for all that you're going to do. And Lord, in a few moments, we'll gather around the table to celebrate this time. But Lord, we just ask your blessing to be on the time that we will spend together in this house to give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. In Jesus' name.
Yes, Lord.
Now, I want you to repeat after me. In the name of Jesus,
we receive the ministry
of Paul Greenwich
and
his wife, Jerutha. And we promise to pray
and support
and love them. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, give the Lord a big hand. Yes, Lord.
Thank you for listening today. We pray that you have been blessed by listening to the message. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. If you have a prayer need, we welcome you to submit it through our website. We'd love to pray for you. Will you consider supporting us with your prayer and financial gifts? God bless you.